23 Skidoo, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast shunned by hoarders everywhere. And now, joking and smoking, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh, we're back again. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, starring Douglas B. Jones, as our erstwhile announcer just reported to you. I am your Medicare expert, and I'm going to be your Medicare expert for this whole episode. So don't even think about looking for another Medicare expert. I'm it. And I want to thank Drew McMillan, the announcer, who told you that I was going to be your Medicare expert. He is my nephew and my unpaid introduction announcer for each one of our episodes. Someday he's going to wise up and send me an invoice, but I'm hoping that day doesn't come soon. I'm enjoying getting the benefit of his skill and performance levels for free. Now, if you want to see Drew in action on television, you can watch the Canadian television show Powerboat TV. Drew is a host of the Powerboat TV television show, which we in America can watch on powerboattv.com. And he was in all of the 2020 episodes. I am inclined to be your Medicare expert for as long as you will have me. And that is because I podcast and write books for and try to educate lazy people. And who are these lazy people? Well, they are people who really don't want to study Medicare. They don't want to become experts. They don't want to have to deal with all of the garbage that the federal government has thrown at us. It's confusing. It's sometimes a little frightening, and it's certainly irritating. So what I try to do is interpret the confusing, irritating, and frightening parts to make them more user-friendly, to make the path through Medicare a little more clear and a little less cloudy and confusing for people who are approaching Medicare. And hopefully at the end of the process, you'll feel as though you made the best choices possible and you don't have to worry about your Medicare coverages, your Medicare insurance protection anymore for the rest of your life. That's our goal anyway. And when I say our, I'm including my audio engineer and financial advisor, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Mr. Jones, how are you today? You're looking bright and chipper.
Well, that's only because you can see me. You wouldn't say that if the screen went blank. You'd say, yeah, you sound like you're half asleep. And that's, as you know, because we've been awakened either by the local police looking for non-existent stolen cars or dead animals laying in the yard that are making potential house buyers squeamish. There are any number of things going on around here that just disturb the heck out of me. So I'm happy to be spending time podcasting for a change.
So what you're trying to tell me then is the local police, the Matt Dillon and the Chester of your town, stopped by in their cars, guns drawn, and ask if you had a Dodge anywhere on the property.
Specifically a white Dodge.
A white Dodge. And you said no, but they said, we don't believe you. We're going to have to check.
Well, okay. First of all, I can't say that I have any firsthand knowledge of this because I did not wake up until it was all over. Fortunately, I have a woman that lives in the house here, and I don't know, we'll call her Mary, for instance, just make up a name. She's the one that is assigned to get up and answer the door or look, at least look out the windows when strange things are happening. So to have two police cars in the driveway with guns drawn and people leaning on the doorbell qualifies as a strange thing. And
yes.
Therefore, that was the occurrence the series of events that went on before I woke up yesterday morning. When I did wake up, you know, everything was right with the world. The sun was out. It wasn't too cold. And I thought, what another beautiful day. And then I'm confronted with, do you know what you slept through?
And let me guess, that was coming from the WIFL unit.
Yes, the designated door answerer.
Oh, yeah.
And the only complaint I had about her performance was that, you know, she looks out and she sees two people with guns drawn, admittedly in police uniforms, driving police cars. But still, she runs down and opens the door, flings it open. Yep, come on in. He's in the bedroom.
Come on in. Yeah, Doug, if you're looking for Doug, let me show you right where he's at.
Exactly.
Yeah,
take him away. He'll go quietly.
You're not here about that white Dodge, are you?
You didn't see any tracks going into the pond, did you?
So they literally were thinking you were running a chop shop.
Well, yes, but I think you had the best idea that's really the solution. Somebody stole a white Dodge someplace far away that had a low jack. They pulled the low jack out and waited until they were driving by our house and then flung it over the fence into the yard.
That's right.
So the cops were determined to look everywhere to find that white Dodge that the low jack said was in our 5-acre property. So didn't happen.
The low jack is probably still there.
Well, you would think the cops would still be here too.
They're coming back. Did they not tell you?
Well, they don't need to tell me. They just, you know, because I'll sleep through it again. All they need to do is tell Mary. So that was our adventure yesterday morning. A couple of days before that, it was a big giant dead deer. Now, wouldn't it be cool if the deer ate the low jack? And whoever took the deer away would have solved both problems at the same time.
That's probably the reason he was dead. He had an intestinal obstruction from swallowing a low jack.
That's one possibility. A friend of mine actually had a more likely possibility was that the deer was crossing the road and was hit by something and managed to walk another 100 yards or so before it dropped dead.
On your driveway.
I'm sticking with that. Actually, right off the driveway, hiding behind a tree. So you see its butt sticking out from this tree.
Oh, my God. Oh, you killed Bambi. Darn it.
I took a picture, and I sent it to a few people. I said, hey, you recognize this deer? And they all came back and said, is he sleeping? Yeah, it's a dirt nap.
Yeah, he's taking a dirt nap right off my driveway. I didn't even need to wonder where he was because I could follow the scent right to it.
If this is your deer, please come and get him because I don't want to deal with the maggots later on. So anyway, we should be talking about Medicare, not my personal problems this year. So why don't we, this year, my problems last a year. Oh, my God. I am flummoxed by the approach of winter. It's October in Illinois, and we just had a whiff of cold weather, and now it's warmed up again. But I know that cold weather's coming back to stay, and so it's got my head a spinning. And I'm looking for any reason I can to get out of town and head back to Arizona, but I don't know when that's going to be. We got property to sell, and by golly, if anybody's going to sell it, it's going to be me. So anyway, I have responsibilities here. Let's talk about Medicare. It's desk cleaning day again. I'm trying to prepare to move in case one of the three interested parties actually pulls the trigger and buys my house. So I'm trying to get rid of a lot of the stuff I've collected. One of the things I've collected is correspondence from our listeners and readers of my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. And that book is soon to be supplanted by Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. But that's factual information for another time. But basically, I have a client in California, read the book, liked it. He said, okay, it's very clear what I want to buy. And so I then helped him get his insurance coverage, in this case, a Medicare supplement, high deductible plan G, and a really inexpensive prescription drug plan because he doesn't take any prescriptions yet. And so you don't want to let him go without a prescription drug plan because someday when he needs one, there will be a lifetime late enrollment penalty. So since he just turned 65, it was better for him to sign up for a cheapo plan now so that he avoids the lifetime late enrollment penalty for prescription drug plans. So then he said, hey, look what I found. He sent me a copy of some mail he got, some junk mail. And he said, the wife and I got this, And we could figure it out, but we were curious. And he said, we spent most of the afternoon Googling and trying to figure out what this is. And basically, it's a mailer from an insurance company that operates big time in California. I used to represent them as their regional manager when they were operating under a different name. But they sent out, apparently, to a lot of people in California, a flyer that says, get extra benefits to help you stay healthy. And it says, dear so-and-so, during these challenging times, and that seems to be like a buzzword for people talking about the Wuhan flu, during these challenging times, the right health coverage may bring you peace of mind. We're here to help you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan. It says it in line two of the text. My client said he and his wife researched and Googled things all afternoon before they figured out that this was a Medicare Advantage plan. So my client did not read the second line very carefully, but this thing is just like the paper equivalent of Joe Namath. It promises all of this exciting stuff, and it's all going to be theirs if they would just sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan. It's $0 monthly premiums, and that's highlighted in orange. Supplemental dental, vision, and hearing benefit. Now, it doesn't say whether those are going to be benefits like you would get if you actually paid money for them. Since they're kind of included in a free plan and they're also free, they're more likely to be examinations provided by doctors who are sitting around waiting for patients to come to visit them. They might not be the most experienced of doctors out there or dentists. I would not want to be forced into a small network of unsuccessful dentists and eye doctors. If they were part of my plan, I would be skeptical if this was the kind of dental, vision, and hearing coverage that I would find useful. Prescription drug coverage. Once again, one would have to look carefully at the quality of the prescription drug coverage, especially if you're taking drugs. Do you want to make sure that your drug coverage plan actually covers the drugs that you take, or does it maybe cover weirdo drugs that nobody takes? And then if you are trying to apply for your drugs to be provided for you, you find that there are big, big copays and deductibles and so forth. That happens all too frequently with these Medicare Advantage plans. Predictable out-of-pocket limits for covered benefits. What are those out-of-pocket limits? Well, your average Medicare Advantage plan has an out-of-pocket limit, meaning the amount that they could stick you with during the course of a year, of over $5,000. Now, the Medicare supplement plan that I recommend has a maximum out-of-pocket limit of $2,300. So there's a huge difference. These Medicare Advantage plans seem like a good deal because they have zero monthly premiums, but in reality, they get you on the back end. If you need to be treated for medical problems, then they're going to come get you in the form of deductibles, copays, coinsurance, and high out-of-pocket limits if you need a lot of treatment. Access to doctors online. Okay, well, that's not a bad thing. I don't know, access, does that mean you got to pay a copay? I'll bet you do. And then allowance for health items at Walmart, most plans. So not every plan has this stuff, most plans. And when you say health items, is that like toothpaste? I don't know. There are a lot of gaping holes in this thing. So then the same client sent me another flyer from a different company, and this is from a brokerage firm. And this brokerage firm says, seniors in California save thousands with new Medicare plan. It says, California Medicare, the average senior. I hate that term senior, Randy, don't you? I don't know if you do.
I do too. I hate it.
Yeah.
Because it says nothing.
Exactly. And frankly, it's all younger people that use that word. It's never anybody our age. So the average senior is spending over $5,000 per year on out-of-pocket medical expenses. I don't know where they get that number. They're certainly exposed to it. The risk is there for people that own Medicare Advantage plans. But anyway, so this whole flyer, it goes on and on. It's two pages. And in fact, it shows one of their clients. and it's got a picture of the same guy. It says Standard Medicare. The guy's face is bright red, and he
Oh my God.
That guy, he's only covered by Standard Medicare. And you can see he's like glowing red. And then here's what he looks like after he buys.
Oh, that's much better.
He's got a big grin on his face. He's flesh colored again. He's wearing the same clothes. He's got the same background. It's like they snapped two pictures, in 12 seconds and colored one and made him look horrible. But this thing goes on and on and on. And frankly, it is not for Medicare Advantage. It is a Medicare supplement plan, but it calls it a new plan and, you know, come examine what we have to offer that's brand new and you've never seen it before. So that's horse hockey too. And I guess my point is that the advertising that you see during AEP, annual election period, at the end of the year is all of it's horse hockey. When the Medicare Advantage plans overstate their case, or they put Joe Namath in front of a camera, prop him up and tell him, okay, here's what you say. And they read the words on the screen, Joe, and smile while you're doing it. Frankly, the other people, the good people, the people selling Medicare supplement plans, feel the need apparently to do the same kind of thing. So their advertising is equally as insulting and stupid as the Medicare Advantage plan advertising. So my client is getting a chuckle out of these things in California because he is well situated with Medicare Part A, Medicare Part B, a great Medicare supplement plan that I think cost him $33 a month as a Medicare eligible person who's age 65. He has the two parts of original Medicare plus the Medicare supplement plan I sold him, which cost him $33 a month and protects him from all kinds of financial disaster. And then, of course, he's got a great drug plan that I think cost him $13 a month. So he's all set, and he's able to sit back and laugh at the lying, exaggerating direct mail pieces that he gets from other insurance companies. So that was my point there. I just want to tell you, watch out for all the advertising. It's all hyperbole, or most of it that I've seen is hyperbole. And you may or may not live in California, but they're the same type of thing goes on anywhere. There are a lot of people turning age 65. So my next thing that I want to get off my desk is a pile of stuff I got from a well-known insurance company who is looking to help their members. They think that some of their members have problems that could be alleviated if this company perhaps encourages agents to look for members that might be in dire straits and then turns them in, that sounds a little weird, but reports the fact that they could use some additional help. So it starts out by saying, help a member, help us, and get something in return. They want agents to fill out a member care assessment survey. It was designed to help members by learning more about their needs. The original post-enrollment survey has questions that give us, or this optional post-enrollment survey has questions that give us more insight into their whole person health, which will help us connect them with resources that may be helpful. In addressing those needs for each survey completed, we will send you $50. Oh boy. So I'm thinking, okay, let's find out what kind of people they're looking for here. And they say, all right, we're looking for people that have trouble with the social determinants of health. What are the social determinants of health? Well, they involve where you live, what you eat, and something else here. It's where you live, what you eat, and then accessing medical and pharmaceutical services. And then it goes on to say, also are you lonely, do you have friends or anything like that? So they want agents to fill out these questionnaires with these people. What is your living situation today?
Are you lonely?
Exactly. All right. So what is your living situation, Randy? Which one of these applies to you? I have a steady place to live, or I have a place to live today, but I'm worried about losing it in the future, or I do not have a steady place to live.
I think I would have to say I live in my car most days.
All right. So you have a steady place to live.
I do.
Okay, very good. Now, if you were living with an angry, angry woman, like I described Helga, the stomping mare that happens to live in my house, I would have a different answer. I would say, I have a place to live today, but I'm worried about losing it in the future. And then the next question. Some people have often made the following statements about their food situation. Please answer whether the statements were often, sometimes, or never true for you and your household in the last year. So, within the past 12 months, have you been worried that your food would run out before you got money to buy more? Often, sometimes, or never? Randy's eyeballs are rolling around in his head.
I literally cannot get my head around. This is like a bounty. This is like a bounty. Are they supposed to bring in, like back in the Midwest, if you were, you know, killing gophers, you had to, you know, there was a gopher bounty and you had to bring in two paws. And then there was a bunch of gophers running around with crutches. But the problem is now they've got a bounty going for, you know, homeless people or people that are afraid they're going to lose their house and can't eat. So now we got a bounty for $50.
And what else is going on here? You are sniffing so close to the truth here, but you're dancing around it and you don't see it yet. And I didn't see it for a long time myself. And let me go on with the questions. Within the last 12 months, the food you bought just didn't last and you didn't have any money to get more. Is that often true, sometimes, or never true? The questions go on. Within the past 12 months, has a lack of reliable transportation kept you from medical appointments? For you, I would say, within the past 12 months, have your door handles being too hot kept you from actually getting in your car?
No, not recent. I've got oven mitts.
Oven mitt.
I've got oven mitts.
I think the people these questions are designed for don't have oven mitts or don't think about problem solving. I don't think they're good at solving problems. How hard is it for you to pay for the very basic things like food, housing, medical care, and heating? How about air conditioning, huh? They don't even mention that.
Yeah, really.
Do you have any of the following issues with accessing pharmacy services? Cost issues, transportation issues, personal health and safety issues. That means if you go outside, you're going to catch something, I guess. I don't know what it means. How often do you feel lonely? Thinking about your health, which statement best describes how you feel? I do whatever is necessary. My health is important to me, but other things in my life are taking priority right now. So I don't know.
Do you feel lonely?
Isn't something I think. Yeah.
Do you feel lonely?
Do you feel healthy? I'm going to read a list of barriers to improving your health. And I don't know. So they give agents this questionnaire. They want you to go out and find people to answer these questions. Now, here's the key that you sniffed around. I'm skipping pages of questions. The key is that when somebody buys a Medicare Advantage plan, that this company is really peddling hard. They're the ones that are out in front selling Medicare Advantage plans. The federal government gives the insurance company a chunk of money every year. The insurance company has to deliver health services to their clientele and make a profit. So they got to actually, you know, take some of that money and set it aside for their profit, and then the rest of it they can spend on the people. So why would they spend money setting up this questionnaire thing and asking agents to go find people that have problems and then giving each of the agents $50 every time they find somebody that has problems that can be solved with the extra efforts and expense of the insurance company? It's not because they're altruistic. It's because they go back to the federal government and they say, hey, look what we found. We found that some of our members are lonely or hungry or their food doesn't last till the end of the month. Give us more money, federal government, so we can do extra things.
Yeah, that's right. You can take them to lunch. There's a lot of that. You can take them to doctor's appointments. And I think Joe Namath will actually drive you there personally.
Well, he at least will help you get on the bus that takes you there.
Yes.
Prison
yes.
bus that you use. Actually, it's not a prison bus because it used to be a prison bus and it's all worn out now from the prisoners. But they will not tell you that it's not altruistic. It is the whole thing is entirely the product of their desire to get even more money out of the federal government. So that, and there's nothing wrong with a company making profit. I don't mind that at all. But it is not the kind of thing that's altruistic, like they're trying to make you think that they're the good guys and they're going out of their way to spend their corporate profits on finding people that are in trouble. They're basically uncovering problems so as to go to the government and say, oh, look at all these people that have problems. Give us more money. That's why they do it. So maybe it'll be successful. Maybe they'll help some people. But they should at least express the reason why they're engaging in that activity and giving me $50. I don't think so. I'm not going to be out looking for people, so I'm going to pass on that. But so maybe a mailbag item. What do you think?
We can do one, but I do have one thing to interject here.
Ask away or inject away.
Inject away. Was that particular company advertisement you just read, was that from Smog State Insurance?
No. Is there a real Smog State, or is this something you're making up now?
No, I'm making it up because I don't want to give them the real name of this company.
Yeah, but, yeah.
While you were discussing that, Doug, I looked up on the internet about this particular company that you're referring to, and in terms of the hearing checks that this company offers. Now, keep in mind, lonely people need to be able to hear.
Yes, they do.
So they are offering an ear horn, and it has really? the company logo emblazoned right on the ear horn.
Oh, that's fantastic. God, what a swell bunch of fellas, huh?
I know.
I swear, I'd proudly wear their t-shirts if they didn't charge me to wear them. It's, you're wearing advertising. You're going to pay us for that. I don't know why some of these companies enjoy trying to appear to be altruistic, but it irritates me that they don't come clean for their motivation. So Smog State.
Did you say you had one mailbagger?
I've got a ton of them here, but I pulled one off because I didn't know how much time we'd have.
Well, we are actually out, but let's do one mailbagger because I know that everybody out there loves mailbaggers, because if someone has a question that would write to you, there's probably 53 more that have the same question and they would be glad to hear it.
Well, let us also not destroy our flow of mailbag items by putting a questionnaire on the website that makes it too easy for people not to write us their personal stories. So it's, we've got to rethink our whole strategy of how we help people get Medicare supplement plans by making them write a dissertation, maybe forcing them to write a little essay to us.
Yes.
So we'll figure that out.
So actually my thought was, Doug, is you can submit a questionnaire for free if you give us an essay attached to it. Otherwise, the submission will cost you $9.95.
All right. I've got a lot of people that sign up for that. Yes, I'm not going to pay $9.95. I will write an essay. Let's see how that works. We'll give it a try and see.
I'll put it into effect right now, and I'll let you know how that's working. I don't have high hopes for it, but it was a thought.
Well, as long as our thinking caps are on. Now, I did have a two-page mailbag item, but knowing that we were going to kill some more time, I put it away and I got a one-page mailbag item. So this is from a gentleman in Indiana, and he says, I enjoyed listening to your books. I would like to find information to help me understand what I should do regarding my work insurance and Medicare. I will be 65 in November this year, but will not be retiring for a couple more years. Thank you, Doug. What a polite guy. And so I wrote him back. Thanks for writing. How many employees does your company have? Large companies, and that's over 20 employees. So that doesn't really seem that large, but that's where the law changes its approach. Large companies of over 20 employees have different rules and procedures than small companies. Often an excellent source of information is the HR department at your employer. If your insurance plan is a health savings account, then I would advise against enrolling in any part of Medicare until you need it at retirement. If you don't have an HSA, health savings account, then I recommend enrolling in Medicare Part A at the earliest opportunity after turning 65. After that, let your HR or personnel expert guide you as to whether you need Medicare Part B right now or if it's better to wait. In reality, what you do is you, depending on the size of the company, that's what makes the difference in getting Part B or not getting Part B right now. Small company, you want to get your Part B, and large company, the company medical plan will cover your Part B expenses for you until you retire or leave their plan. If you have difficulty getting reliable advice, please contact me again and provide additional details so I can offer better advice. Also, thanks for the kind words about my book. Oh, here's where I sneak it in on them. Short customer reviews are always appreciated. I didn't tell them exactly how to leave a short customer review. Somebody said, well, where do I put it? And I said, how about the place where you bought it? And the guy said, oh yeah, okay, Amazon. That wasn't this guy though. This guy's a genius. He would never have asked that question. So anyway, I just wanted people to understand that there is a difference. If you're working for a company that's a small company, you're going to want to get Part A and Part B of Medicare, because then the government will say that your company plan is secondary to Medicare. Medicare pays first. But if you work for a larger company, then the government will say that your company medical plan pays first and Medicare coverage is not necessary for you. So that's the short mailbag item that I chose for today. You can participate in our mailbag extravaganza by sending your questions or love notes to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And we would love to have you do that. So have we run out of time again?
We are out of time, and I was looking up something to leave as a hanging chad. I actually watched an entire documentary movie last night about a county in Illinois.
Oh boy.
And I want to know if you've ever heard of this person, and or at least the town.
If it's Nauvoo, I've been there.
Have you been to Palestine?
No, but I have been to Palatine.
Oh, Palatine. Yeah. Oh,
and that
okay.
is a suburb of Chicago, and I used to pass through it twice a day.
So I'm looking up this name because I'm sure that you have probably heard of this, being a long-term resident of Illinois. Have you ever been to Crawford County?
Nope, can't say I know where Crawford County is.
Well, it's in south. According to what I read, it's in southeastern okay. Illinois. And it was, it's particularly focused on this little town down there called Lawrenceville.
Oh, yeah, I know Lawrenceville.
Now, do you know why Lawrenceville is famous?
It is going to be because it is where a big Corvette parts supplier is located, or a prison. It's going to be one of those two. Oh, boy. Damn. I hate it when I hear that buzzer.
So, have you ever heard of the name of Elizabeth Reed?
I can't say as I have.
She was the first woman hung in Illinois.
Okay, as if there have been a lot of them.
In Crawford County. Wow. For poisoning her husband with strychnine. Just thought you should know that.
Okay, now, we're not going to let the spousal unit hear about this, are we? She happens to have a cabinet full of strychnine, and I don't want her getting any ideas.
Oh, well, we don't want any of that going on. But bottom line is, the other thing I thought was interesting was her defense attorney.
Yes.
Was a future. Now, this was back in like 18, you know, whatever.
Oh, okay.
But her defense attorney was a future governor of Illinois, and her other defense attorney on her team was a past attorney general of Illinois. So I'm thinking, you know, she probably thought she had a pretty good defense team, but didn't work out so well for her.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that most governors of Illinois, any governor of Illinois that you happen to mention a name of, the odds are better than 50-50 that they've done hard time. So, including several of the most recent governors. So now she was barking up the wrong tree for legal advice.
Well, I'm thinking so because they accused her of poisoning her husband. They also eventually accused her of being a witch, which we all know wasn't necessarily the straight scoop.
Right.
But here's the interesting hanging chat about it. About her being a witch, or at least continuing to let people believe she was a witch. They had her jailed in Lawrenceville, I believe, and the jail was totally made out of 12x12 posts.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, there was no way you could saw your way through it. There was no way you could eat your way through it. Nothing.
Alrighty.
And the only way to get into this thing was to crawl up a ladder and jump down through a trap door in the top, and there was no windows.
Hmm.
So while she was there, supposedly without having any flammable material on her, she set the jail on fire.
Okay.
And it burned down, and she got out.
Uh-huh. All right. I have a theory as to how this might have happened. If she was a comely lass, she might have enticed a jailer to throw in a, you know, box of kitchen matches or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she might have actually used her bedding to build a little bonfire in a corner and set it on fire.
Yeah.
If she was persuasive enough to do that.
I think you're absolutely right. And she was caught after she escaped the jail running down Main Street. Now, again, I wouldn't have been running down Main Street, but she was. And while everybody was watching the jail burn down, I would have been sneaking off some other direction, but
absolutely,
that didn't work out that way.
That's because you've got a brain. Now, here's the other thing, too. If I'm her, and if I'm her legal team, I'm going to suggest that she throw herself on the mercy of the court, because obviously she's a widow, and a poor widow lady is unfortunate. She's been dealt an unfortunate hand. Now, the fact that she actually killed her husband and made herself a widow, you know, we can gloss over that. The jury doesn't need to know that.
No. And the other thing I thought was interesting about this situation was that most black widows, let's say, that kill their husbands are doing so for financial reasons. Her husband had absolutely nothing. So we don't know why she decided to kill him off. But
I can guess. He might have been really, really irritating. or he might have been standing in the way of her striking up with with somebody of means.
The jailer.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Might have been the jailer. Yeah, yeah.
Everybody knows how financially successful jailers are.
Oh, I know. They really are. Well, that was my fun fact.
All that stuff, those people down there have Southern accents, so, you know, Yankees would make fun of them for sounding like dope. But Lawrenceville, I'm guessing, is very much like Cairo, Illinois. It is closer to New Orleans than it is to Chicago, even though it's in Illinois. So it's real far away from the part of Illinois I live in, and it's worlds away from, well, especially in the 1800s, worlds away from what we would consider to be civilization, I'm guessing.
All right, so one more fun fact, and we better sign her off because we're out of steam.
About Elizabeth Reed or something new?
About Elizabeth Reed, or at least the town of Lawrenceville.
All righty.
There was another famous family from Lawrenceville other than the Reeds. The Reeds became infamous for another reason, but there was another family in Lawrenceville by the name of Heath.
Hmm.
And guess what they did?
Did they make do-it-yourself radio kit?
No.
Remember Heath Kit radios?
Heath Kit, yeah. These people invented the Heath bar.
I was going to suggest that, and then I thought, no, that's even too stupid for me. So that's why I did not mention that as my first choice. No kidding. I've never had a Heath bar because I've watched my friends when I was a little kid eat Heath bars, and they look disgusting. And so I've never wanted to have a Heath bar.
I don't like them either, but They obviously, as you know, they were sold to, I don't know, Hershey's or somebody, but they're still going. They're still cranking out Heath bars, and I'm sure the Heath family in Lawrenceville, if they still live there, are still drawing revenue from the original Heath bar.
You think they're getting a licensing fee for each bar that somebody buys?
I'll bet they are.
All right. Well, you know, probably in the early days, that money had to go for the various fines and bails that their daughter Elizabeth generated. She sounds like a wild child.
Yes, I think she was.
Somebody
I think
had to
she
pay
was.
Her legal. Let's invent a candy bar so we can pay Elizabeth's legal fees.
Let's hire the governor. He'll get her off.
Yeah, unless he's gone to jail, in which case, we'll just get the next governor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next guy. The past attorney general. He'll be good. No, he won't.
Well, life in Illinois, and it's not getting any better. I got to tell you, it is. It is not any better than it was back in the 1860s. So, with that, I should say, hey, listeners, please, if you have a mind to, go buy Medicare for the Lazy Man at Amazon.com or at BarnesandNoble.com. The 2021 book is going to be in production very soon. When I say production, it means I'm going to start thinking about it. And then we also want people to come to our website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and send us your mail, your thoughts, your dreams, your wishes, your hopes, and your questions. That would be to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. So that could be about it.
It should be about it. We've landed the plane. We're out of steam. But one last thing I would like to say is I have introduced Doug as the anti-insurance guy for several months now. But just for today, I'm going to use a different phrase.
Uh-oh.
Your hometown insurance dude from Oklahoma. Treat him just like your hometown insurance dude, because he's not going to steer you wrong. But in the meantime, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones around the metaphorical table. We had a great time. I hope you did, too. And Doug already told you where to get the book. But in the meantime, looking forward to talking to you tomorrow or the day after.
Bye-bye.